We went back into the hospital to my daughter's room. The night passed. The next morning, we looked again at her eye. It was straightening up. When the ophthalmologist checked her later and analyzed her condition, he said, "Her fusion is perfect. We'll take her out of glasses." Unto this day, her eyesight is perfect. Now, I don't know why I have never learned that lesson permanently. I guess it's that part of the fallen humanity in me. Have you ever had to learn a lesson twice? Would you believe 7 or 8 times? We waited. We could do nothing. There was no one but the Lord to turn to. I had the finest of surgeons who specialized in children's eyes. He warned me. I had to exchange my weakness for God's strength, even though I didn't deserve the exchange. I simply said, "It is impossible, Lord. You do it." And he did. When we wait for God to direct our steps, he does. When we trust him to meet our needs, he will. What else? 3, wait silently in stillness. My soul waits in silence. My soul wait in silence. The hymn writer says, "Speak, Lord, in the stillness, while I wait on thee, hushed my heart to listen in expectancy." Some of the best times in prayer are wordless times. I stop speaking, close my eyes, and meditate upon what I have been reading or upon what I have been saying, and I listen inside of myself. I listen deeply. I listen for reproofs. I think of myself as a home with many doors. As I am meditating, and often it helps to close my eyes so I won't be distracted, I unlock doors and open them as I wait. It is here that the Holy Spirit invades. Then I take circumstances before him and I listen with doors open. Please be assured that I have never heard an audible voice. It isn't that kind of answering. It's a listening down inside. It's sensing what God is saying about the situation. His promise is, after all, that he will inscribe his law, his will, upon our hearts and our minds. It's like what you do when you're in love with a person. Isn't it true? The deeper the love, the less that has to be said. You can actually sit alone together by a fireplace for an hour or two and say very, very little, but it can be the deepest encounter and relationship you know anything about. Sometime soon, take time to read Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It's a letter Jesus Christ wrote to a group of Century 1 Christians in a metropolis named Ephesus. Big city, solid saints, strong church, but something was missing. Do you know what went wrong at Ephesus? They left their first love. They were orthodox and predictable, solid to the core, standing for the truth. But they lost the fire of their love. They fell out of love with Jesus Christ. And the Lord said it was so significant to him that unless they returned, he'd lift the lampstand from their place and take the light away. They'd be nothing more than another shell with a sign out front, the Ephesian church, an empty, stained glass shell without Christ's warmth. 4. You wait in stability and confidence. He only is my rock. That's a good word. My stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. Psalm 62, verse 2. There's a sense of stability in trusting the Lord. That's how we wait, silently and with a sense of confidence. Insight on patience. I love Isaiah 40, verse 31 so much. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. In this instance, the word wait means to twist or to stretch in order to become strong. In noun form, it means a line or a rope. In other words, it's the idea of stretching or twisting strands of hemp so that, in the process, far greater strength comes.